Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Surin News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump has been holding meetings at the White House with the King of Jordan. He used the occasion today to reiterate his determination to stop anybody from entering the country illegally. Meanwhile, the president's enjoying a very high approval rating right now, his highest yet, according to the latest Gallup poll. 45% of Americans surveyed approve of the president's performance. Support among Republicans is sky high at 90%. And 42% of independents are giving the president's performance a thumb up. In Long Beach, California, one firefighter was killed, another shot, as they responded to reports of an explosion at a high-rise retirement home. Authorities say the person believed responsible for the shooting is a resident of that facility and is now in custody. Health regulators have approved the first prescription drug made for marijuana, a milestone that could spur more research into the drug. This is SRN News.
There's an accident on I-95 northbound, the exit at San Marco Boulevard. That on-ramp left lane is blocked. Traffic is pretty busy there as well. Also, a disabled vehicle on I-95 northbound, the ramp to State Road 9B in the south end of town. And another disabled vehicle on the West Beltway 295 southbound, the exit at Lem Turner Road. A slight chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Low 74. Tuesday starting out mostly sunny. High 93.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're all about the good news, everyday miracles of Jesus Christ. Yep, we do not have people stationed at the police department. We don't have people trying to gather up dirty news, bad news, who shot who did to what to who, or who even said what to who. Or we don't even play garbage on here. We do use the recovery stories of people that went through garbage, but how God turned around their lives. That's what we're all about, helping people walk deeper with Christ and knowing His ways, knowing that He's there with you. Even if you don't know Him yet, He's still there. I'm sorry. And He doesn't get away. He created you for a purpose. He gave you free will, but you have to make choices through all that. Today's theme is soap operas. Hey, I know some women that watch soap operas. When they come home, they have recorded them. And they're ready to get into them. You know, why do they do that? What is it all about with soap operas? Well, I just looked up here. There's Days of Our Lives. That's one of the popular ones. These have been around from the 70s. General Hospital. Don't know if that was still on. But Young and Restless is still on the air. These things, again, got created in the 70s and 80s, and some of the same characters are on there too. So what are they talking about all that time? Well, it's one little episode after another. It's jealousy, hurt, pain, dissension. You know, it's a garbage stuff that the enemy wants to throw around everybody. So get caught up in yourself. Think about yourself. You know, don't be praying for anybody. Don't be helping anybody with a conscious heart or a desire to do good. Just think about selfish self. Now, that's what travels through a lot of people's minds every day. They think about these things, and they have little conflicts in their families or even in their business, their jobs, whatever that may be. So we got some exciting stories here to share with some ladies who've overcome some of these battles. And we've got a woman who, these are all good series because these come from Christian Broadcasting Network, and they really know how to do a good interview with someone and actually tie it together and bring them back to where Christ brings the healing together. But we've got a woman with spiritual chasing as spirits of evil. We've got a woman who was a star with Disney. A woman who's been a beautiful model. I've seen her on different episodes, not so much on TV, but pictures and magazines. Another woman who's through a cloud of depression, gets through things, and again, God eventually helps her struggle to trace back her childhood abandonment issues. That's another woman. And then finally, a woman. I like this story particularly. This is a woman who encounters, she's a Muslim, raised in Muslim, and her parents try to dump her off in Pakistan, keep her from getting into the truth of things, and then eventually she finds her way. But what an inspiring story, gutsy lady. Anyway, let's get started here with, again, a woman with a spiritual guide. You know, she's confused in her mind with a lot of desire and needs. Listen to some of her story.
Jessica Smith's father was an alcoholic. Her mother raised her to believe in Jesus, and Jessica often turned to God for comfort and security.
I loved the idea that God was my father in heaven, and he fulfilled any of the inadequacies of my real father.
In high school, Jessica decided to do what felt good to her, including experimenting with drugs.
I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to feel cool. I wanted to be popular. I wanted boys to like me.
Later, when she went to college, Jessica decided to leave Christianity behind completely.
I just saw people living these lives that seemed goody-two-shoes to me. It just pushed me the other direction. I just thought, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want it.
But spiritual issues were something Jessica couldn't avoid dealing with when a close friend was killed in a motorcycle accident.
I had to know, where is she? Is there such a thing as heaven and hell? What do I believe? I didn't know if she knew Jesus, and I couldn't stand the thought of her being in a place called hell.
Jessica desperately wanted answers. She didn't like what the Bible said about hell, so she felt compelled to call a relative for advice. The relative, a psychic, told Jessica she could talk to her deceased friend. Jessica knew the Bible warned against talking to mediums, but she was swayed by the emotional experience.
It felt like love. It felt like peace. I'd been searching for answers, and I was just in such a state of turmoil, and I'm praying, what is truth? And then I am overwhelmed by this sensation of love and peace. And I knew that God was love. And I thought, well, it has to be God then.
For the next 10 years, Jessica pursued that feeling full time. She immersed herself in meditation, taught yoga, Reiki energy healing, and communication with spirits.
Seeking spiritual truth and escalating along the spiritual path. I viewed all religions and all modes of spirituality as going up paths to the mountain, all different paths to the top of the mountain. And getting to the top of that mountain was absolutely my top priority in life.
But the closer Jessica felt to achieving nirvana, the more her personal life with her boyfriend fell apart. She struggled with anger and unhappiness.
I didn't think any of the tumultuousness of our relationship was spiritual. I just needed to see a real counselor and get to the root of the issue, which I viewed as my childhood. You know, this is where this anger is coming from.
So she agreed to meet with Christian counselors Donald and Don Offerman, as long as they didn't pressure her about Jesus. Over dinner, Jessica and her boyfriend learned of the Offerman's ministry to the homeless in Alaska.
I started thinking, well, that's really cool. Here are some people who are working with Jesus the same way I'm working with Buddha and Tara and these other energies to do good.
Jessica decided, since Jesus was there for her during childhood, she should give him spiritual priority.
All of these other spirits really were just acquaintance spirits compared to that deep foundational relationship that I had with Jesus as a child. And I just thought, why am I not working with Jesus? And then I prayed something that I had no idea how profound it was or what I was setting into motion with my prayer. I prayed to all of the other spirits that I've been working with. I said, thank you so much for all that you have taught me. But from now on, I'm just going to be working with Jesus. And I'd done that before with, I'd worked with a certain spirit or energy for a while. There'd never been any problems when I transitioned from working with one to another. And so I just thought, of course, there would be no problems. They're all beings of light after all. They just want what's best for me.
Jessica and her boyfriend, who had recently become a Christian, began reading the book of Luke aloud every day. Neither of them was prepared for what happened next.
I was sitting at the kitchen table, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I mean absolute nowhere, I felt just this overwhelming terror and hate and evil just like overwhelm me in an instant, out of nowhere. And I knew something very real was happening spiritually. In that moment, I completely surrendered, and I knew that the only way to be saved from what I had allowed into myself was through Jesus.
Jessica asked her boyfriend to pray in the name of Jesus.
And the Lord brought to mind verses that I hadn't thought of in a really long time. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, and I knew it. I knew in an instant that every single word of the Bible was true, not just the ones that suited the way I wanted to live, all of it. And in an instant, I knew what it was, and it just started coming up and out, and I just consciously let it, and this deep, throaty, like, hiss came from the back of my throat, and I felt an energy leave.
Jessica rededicated her life to Jesus Christ that night and was set free from many demonic spirits.
The Lord knew what needed to happen, and he allowed it to happen. He prepared me with his truth of his scriptures, and then he removed the veil and let me experience the reality of what I had allowed into myself through these practices.
Jessica returned to church, where she grew in Christ. She met and married Stuart, and they have two sons. She says that the truth she was searching for can only be found in one place.
The peace that Jesus gave me was this deep, true peace. It wasn't a feeling. It came by faith. And that's what I really had to realize, is that my relationship with Jesus isn't about a feeling. It's about truth. It's about faith, even when it's not comfortable. It's about trusting him that he is God and I'm not, and that he knows, and submitting to that. And then I could look back throughout all the years and all of the choices that I made, and I just saw his patience and how his hand was always protecting me. And he never gave up on me.
That is so good, isn't it? This gal got deceived by all the possible spirits out there, you know, they obviously have religious spirits, but she didn't see it, the depth of Christianity, until she really started to see it in other people and see it being experienced in herself. God has a purpose to let us to go through stupid stuff, jealousy, bitterness, resentment. We're talking about soap operas today and all the spins they put on people's lives about jealousy, bitterness, resentment. He hurt me. I got to get back at him. Revenge. All this kind of stuff going on in people's lives. Well, we're about the good news of Jesus Christ, the everyday miracles happening in people's lives. Again, whether he knows them or not. So we need to find the Lord, seek his ways, and we'll be more fulfilled. Here's a story of a young girl that at a young age became a Disney star in one of those dance shows. I don't know if it was on stage in Orlando or if it was in actually one of those movies and TV series that they've had on. But listen to her interesting story. She stumbled back to the Lord, finding true peace. Enjoy. Listen to this.
Jennifer McGill was a shining star on the new Mickey Mouse Club. She had already won many pageants and talent competitions as a small child. Then at 11, she auditioned with thousands of other eager kids to be a Mouseketeer.
Our phone was in the kitchen, and so everybody could hear my mother's reaction wherever you were in the house. We were both jumping up and down and screaming, and I'm like, Mom, really, really? What does this mean? We didn't even know what it meant. We just knew I got the job. We didn't understand that it was going to be a whole life change, that we were going to move to Orlando, that this was going to be a job that really would last over 7 years.
Throughout those 7 years on the show, Jennifer performed with several budding stars, such as Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, and Ryan Gosling.
My favorite little guy was Justin. And I can call him little because, you know, we're about 3 years apart. And when I met him, he was probably a foot shorter than I was. He was 13 and I was 16.
During high school and her last years on the show, Jennifer began to experience the cruel realities of show business.
Production had secretly asked me not to gain any more weight. And that really did traumatize me, both in the moment, but also over time. I couldn't let go of this idea that I wasn't as valuable because I didn't look like the other girls. And I started understanding that in this particular showbiz world, it didn't matter how well I sang, or maybe even how cute my face was, if my body did not measure up to this standard that all these other girls were meeting, I had a problem. And over the years, that did not go away.
Jennifer had been a Christian since she was 8 years old and never had her faith in God tested before.
When I was coming out of high school and going into college, I knew God loved me. And I journaled a lot about my hopes and dreams and how I had faith that God had things under control. But I wasn't recognizing the negativity in my life as lies. I thought it was true. Sometimes I'd hear from my manager, can you lose a size or can you lose 20 pounds? And I'm thinking, gosh, I'm 21 and this is the smallest I've ever been. I just, at that point, thought that he was just the big God and he had a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, maybe he wasn't working on this right now. Maybe I had to wait or maybe it wasn't gonna happen. I had a lot of doubt.
That doubt and low self-esteem continued, but Jennifer still pursued a career as a recording artist. Producers rejected her, telling her she sounded too old or that she was too articulate.
It's just the craziest thing that you go get educated and you work on your craft and then you're told that you're kind of too good at stuff to be a pop artist. I mean, what does that say about pop artists?
Jennifer found work in musical theater. She thrived on the live performances.
I was addicted to the attention of an audience. I was addicted to the attention of the world that I didn't know how to get. But then when we walked off the stage, I would just start questioning, you know, well, was my dress, you know, slimming enough? You know, how did the other girls do? When I went home, my addiction switched to food and men. I craved male attention. I craved ice cream and chips. And I would yo-yo both romantically and physically, you know, and I just could not make myself happy. So if I couldn't do it in the public eye, I was gonna go out in my private life to the bars and become a rock star. So alcohol happened. And for the first time, when I drank, I felt more confident and I felt more relaxed. And you know, then more and more giving myself away happened. And so it was really just me and the world for a time. And during my darkest times, when I was making all of my choices and really not listening to God at all, and not caring really what happened to me and thinking that I was dead inside, I met a man and he asked me to marry him and I said yes just because he asked.
6 months later, she found out he was already married to another woman. Jennifer had the marriage annulled.
That was the wake-up call. I was embarrassed that I was so unhappy and so depressed and I had married a married man. And I'm 30 and I settled and I did it wrong. That was the moment or the moments where I realized I was a shell of Jennifer. And all of the original purpose and reason why God made me started flooding back. It's like I could hear him calling to me again. And I think it's because I had let so much go. I think that I had just cleared so much and isolated myself to the point where all I could hear was him. And so I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I've done everything wrong. I've chosen poorly. I have gotten myself into this mess. This is my fault. This is not anybody else's. My responsibility. I do not ever want to make a decision without you again. And I said, I give my heart back to you. And I'm not going to ask you for anything but to rescue me from this situation and put me into somewhere that I can heal, I can get closer to you, and I can have a job that glorifies you. I didn't ask to sing. I didn't ask for some sort of superstar, anything. I said, you know, I'll go anywhere and serve food or serve others however I need to, as long as you're in the center of my life. It was that simple.
After her decision, Jennifer knew it was time to make some other changes in her life.
Very quickly, I left where I was living. I moved to Orlando. I was among friends. I was with my dad. I mean, I was taken care of. And within a month, I had a job at a church and a job with Holy Land Experience. What I love about where God placed me right after I rededicated my heart to Him is that I got to be in a familiar place I used to call the stage, and now I call the platform. Swing,
swing away. Today, Jennifer's platform is her new music. Her debut album is entitled Unbreakable.
This whole album is about restoration, about healing and power and strength through the love of God and how...
That's a great story, really. Again, we're talking about soap operas today. Your life can be a soap opera, up and down, in and out, through all the jealousies, bitterness, resentments that people throw against you, you know what I mean? Or you can trust in the Lord. Seek His peace. That's what that lady finally did. Here's Jada Collins, had to do the same thing. She was born with incredible beauty, African-American, a model everywhere in magazines. Her dad had abused her as a kid. She was insecure about eating. Things were eating away at her constantly. Listen to some of her battles and how Christ
saved
her.
Jada Collins is the commentator and spokesmodel for Ebony Fashion Fair, the world's largest traveling fashion show. She's also one of the faces of Fashion Fair Cosmetics. Collins has walked over 1,000 runways from L.A. to Paris to Rome, wearing the fashions of the world's top designers. And her photos have appeared in hundreds of magazines. I recently had a chance to meet Jada and learn what it takes to be a supermodel. She gave me some of her fabulous trade secret makeup tips.
2, 3, 4.
And a quick lesson in walking down a runway with attitude.
Half and half.
Did I make it?
You got it. You will be in the next show, girl.
Uh-huh.
Boom.
There's a reason why you're the model, right?
Jada Collins has undeniable beauty both inside and out. But there was a time when she didn't like what she saw in the mirror. It all started with the cutting words of her alcoholic father.
You're just like your ugly mama. And that seems like it's just a few words, but those words disabled me, literally. It's a fear of not having security. It's a fear of what people think about me. It's a fear of, you know, Dad, why don't you love me?
Where you been?
I went to the store!
What?
Jada and her younger sister watched their father beat their mother.
I've seen my dad stomp her and punch her and kick her. And, you know, I've seen lots of things happen. And I always said, well, you know, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to let that happen to me. And there was this deep sadness of grief from my mom.
Then there was the day when Jada, her mom, and sister came home from a vacation and found their house empty. Jada's dad had moved out and he'd taken everything with him. Jada moved closer to her grandparents and began going to church. It was the unique bond with her grandfather that changed the way Jada saw herself. One day she was looking through a stack of magazines.
I just remember my grandfather, who I loved to death. He told me, he said, you know, you would be the prettiest little mom. And that just opened the door. It was like this light at the end of the tunnel that gave me a little hope that said, you know what, I have something to reach for.
As Jada grew into her teens, those positive words fueled a passion in her to rise above her father's hurtful words. She studied models, their look, their attitude, and their walk. By age 14, she was strikingly beautiful and 5 feet 11 inches tall.
That was horrible. That was absolutely horrible. But now I look back at it and go, thank God for 5'11". But back then, I was teased so much. And even all of the girls that I work with now, we have the same story. I don't know what it is about giraffe, but everybody wants, whoever's tall, you're a giraffe.
Jada eventually landed modeling jobs in her senior year in high school. 7 years later, she moved to California and trained with supermodel Christy Turlington.
I'm breaking in and I'm like, this is just phenomenal. And, you know, being trained together and walking together, and I develop, you know, this fierce walk.
Jada set her sights on becoming a supermodel. She was picked from thousands of entrants to become an Ebony Fashion Fair model. Her first thoughts?
I'm going to be a part of history. I'm going to be a part of African American history as being one of the Ebony Fashion Fair models.
Jada loved every minute of her new opportunity. She modeled in 180 cities worldwide. The camera flashes and the audience's reaction seemed to reach out to validate her as she walked the runways. But when the show was over and the lights went out, Jada's insecurities came to the surface.
Self-esteem became such a huge issue. It was like everything was riding on the fact of, what do I look like? You know, do you know how, I mean, I was schizophrenic. It's a place of totally being in a realm where if another pretty woman comes around, it's like, is my job in jeopardy? We're constantly in competition.
Jada's life as a model caused her to drift away from her Christian values. A sweet-talking man lured her even further away.
This person is telling me that I'm wonderful, telling me that I'm gorgeous, telling me all of these wonderful things. And so I just kind of stepped away from everything that I believed at that point, moved in with him and, you know, what they call shacking at this point, and living a life that really was not, I really didn't feel was pleasing to God.
2 years later, Jada found out her boyfriend was sleeping with another woman. She ended the relationship and recommitted her life to Christ with these words.
Lord, I'm sorry. I've made some mistakes again. Please take me back. And this time, I'm not turning back.
Jada learned about God's forgiveness and began to read her Bible. She forgave those in her past who had hurt her, especially her father.
I stepped out on faith. I called my dad. We talked and we got some things hashed out. I understand why he did some of the things that he did.
And with the words, I'm sorry and I forgive you, Jada was able to walk away from years of bitterness and unforgiveness.
I am a prayer warrior. I don't care what I'm going through. Even when I'm on stage, I'm saying, Lord, I just praise you. I bless you. I give you praise, glory, and honor for deliverance.
In 2003, Jada married gospel artist and minister Ernest Collins Jr. And she's written a book called Beautiful, which speaks to women about overcoming their past and becoming all God has called them to be. She continues on as an Ebony Fashion Fair commentator and supermodel.
My career has been spectacular. And I'm sitting here now and I'm saying to myself, thank you, Lord, thank you. Oh. Just thank you.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's the thing. You know, we have no right to hold on to unforgiveness, you know, bitterness, resentment, things that come into our lives or people have harmed us. Could be family members, could be past lovers or boyfriends or girlfriends. Anyway, this is a great theme. Soap opera is the theme of today's show. Here's Cry Out to Jesus with Third Day. We got to take a break. Be back soon. Hang in there with us. Mercy and healing, he'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
Look out for an accident on I-10 westbound just before Lane Avenue. It doesn't appear to be in the travel lanes. Also, another crash on I-95 northbound at San Marco Boulevard. That on-ramp left lane is blocked and traffic is busy there. Plus, a disabled vehicle on I-95 northbound, the ramp from Pecan Park Road on the north side. A slight chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Low 74. Tuesday starting out mostly sunny. High 93.
For the weary and love for the broken heart.
Welcome back. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us today. We want to feature one of our sponsors, the Christian Healing Ministry. They're on Main Street, or just north of Main Street, right off 95. I should be having the address right in front of me, and I do not. But you can call. Just look up Christian Healing Men. That's the name of their site, ChristianHealingMen.org. Christian Healing Ministry will come up either way. But anyway, on Tuesday mornings, they have prayer time, open prayer time for anybody who wants to come. I think it usually starts 9:30 or 10 and it'll last for at least an hour and a half. But that'd be a great time to come. Go there. Call them. You can get individual prayer, set it up with two people, confidential kind of thing, whenever you want. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 weeks to book that out. But great organization. It's all about inner healing. That's what we all need. Today's show is focused on soap operas, you know, The Days of Our Lives, The Young and the Restless, General Hospital. These are some of the things that started back in the 60s and 70s. And they're still going on. Some of the same characters on these shows. And there are women watching them every day, recording them, getting home, deprogramming their lives by watching the worst of other people. You know, bitterness, resentment, hatred, you know, jealousy, little things that go on, of course, is just perfectly what the enemy wants us to get our mind caught up on, things that we should be worrying about, the doubts that we should have in our lives. God's not in that business. He's in the love business. He's in the business of forgiveness, kindness, joy, peace that surpasses all understanding. One of the gals that just shared, Jada Collins, we had her short little interview, but she forgave her father who physically abused her mother, and she and her sister watched it. And she said, "I'm sorry." And he said, "I'm sorry." And, you know, this is where healing comes. This is why Christ died on the cross. Not just to say, "Hi, folks, here, we're here, and God's got a different plan." You know, he died for forgiveness, to forgive us of being off track. And so our job is to forgive others. If you hold it in bitterness, it'll cause you cancer. It'll cause you all kinds of health issues physically. It'll manifest in your body through a spiritual being, because your body, soul, and spirit is the number one part of you. All right, enough of that. Let's get on to another story here. This is about a lady seeking the light through a cloud of depression. Listen to what she goes through.
There were times when I did feel, as a little girl, that I had a lot of burdens to carry. I remember feeling that I wanted to be somebody else. And I remember feeling not okay about who I was.
Lauren Dunn was 3 years old when her parents, who were both alcoholics, divorced. For much of her childhood, she was fearful of her mother's frequent mood swings.
Who spilled this on the carpet? Sorry, you're gonna get it!
I didn't know if she would get angry. I didn't know if she would get sad. I didn't know if she would be happy. And her overreaction would be getting very angry about a small situation. And I was left feeling like I did something wrong. I would begin to just feel wrong about who I was and wrong in my spirit.
She had a close bond with her grandmother, but when Lauren was just 10 years old, her grandmother died. The acceptance Lauren once knew was replaced with feelings of loneliness and depression.
I didn't want to open myself up to experiencing that level of sadness. And having lost my grandmother, who we lived with when I was younger and had played a major role in my life, I didn't know how to handle that.
Lauren learned to stifle her feelings and tried to find a sense of self-worth through overachieving.
As a teenager, I really wanted to fit in. I really wanted to belong. I wanted to be accepted. And I felt so worthless. And I felt so sad. And so I would study really hard. I would excel in sports. And I thought that my value was based on things that I did.
Lauren's parents went into recovery and got clean, but Lauren still struggled with depression. Trying to find purpose and meaning, she got into relationships with boys, especially ones with their own problems.
When I was in a relationship with somebody, I really wanted to fix them. If there was some kind of substance abuse issue, which was often the case, I wanted that approval.
In her senior year, a bad breakup sent her deeper into depression.
I remember feeling like this emptiness, that something is missing, and wanting to fill this hole and this void. I just felt worthless, just feeling like my value was like the dirt. And I tried to kill myself. I took almost an entire bottle of Tylenol.
Lauren was rushed to the emergency room where she recovered. Having survived, Lauren decided to become a counselor to help others who faced similar struggles. After college, she worked helping people with coping and life skills. She loved seeing people come around, but still hadn't faced her own demons.
Some of the dark days for me, or what depression would look like, would be if I was sitting outside and the sun is shining and I'm sitting under a porch and the porch is blocking the sunlight. I know it's there, but I can't see it and I can't feel it. It just feels dark.
At work, Lauren tried to hide her depression, but a coworker, Brian, a Christian, could tell something was wrong and reached out to her.
He spoke of Jesus's love, and I never felt anything that was condemning or shaming in what he spoke. I just heard hope, and that's what I needed.
Brian started telling her of the hope she could have in Jesus. One day while traveling together on business, Brian asked her to trust God with her struggles.
He asked if I wanted to commit my life to Christ. And there was just this this brokenness in me. And I so wanted it to be filled. I felt, I knew that I needed something more. And I knew that that was the answer. So we pull over at this place in this parking lot. And there's this sign that says the right track. And he prays for me. And I pray. And I ask Jesus to come into my life and into my heart. And from that moment, everything was different.
Lauren says through prayer and reading the Bible, she finally realized her worth.
Today, I see myself as a child of God. I see myself as chosen. I see myself as redeemed. I see myself as forgiven. I see myself as pure. I see myself the way that God sees me.
Lauren says her recovery was a process. Christian counseling, along with medication and support from her loved ones, helped in her battle with depression. But she couldn't have overcome it without God.
What really changed for me was accepting Christ as my Savior. There's nothing that can supplement for that.
Today, Lauren calls the coworker who led her to Christ her husband. And she and Brian are expecting their first child. Lauren finished graduate school and is now completing her internship on her way to becoming a fully licensed professional counselor. She has a good relationship with both parents, and her mother is a Christian.
Life with God is a peace that I can't explain. And that doesn't mean that I don't have days where I might still feel sad, because I have. And the difference today is I know who I am in Christ. I know where I'm going, and I know whose child I am. And nothing can take that away from me. So I don't have to stand alone anymore. I don't feel alone because I'm not alone.
I love that. Life in Christ is like peace. You know, we all have struggles. We all have bitterness, resentments, bitterness, hurts, all the things that have come against us. Brokenness, she said, that she gave it all up to the Lord. She said, Lord, I'm broken before you. I give it to you. I give you my life. That's what it's all about. Not trying to, he's not here. He's not using you to be his Billy Graham. He's not doing that. He's using you to be just another example for others, to witness to people, to counsel with them, to help them, encourage them, to transform your life, to have peace, love, and joy, and get to the place we all want to go, to heaven eventually, and take as many people with us as we can. So here's a lady that struggled back from her childhood abandonment. You know, a boy out of resentment did all the bad things until read a book that changed him from the inside out. He's restored. This is an amazing story.
Josh Zeitz was a young child when his mother left him.
She was a drug addict and just neglectful and always on drugs and things. I don't remember her ever abusing us physically. Whether she did or not, I don't know, but I do know that it was the whole neglecting, and obviously that is abusive.
He never knew his father.
I only remember one guy that he had a motorcycle, and I went out and burnt my leg on his motorcycle one day. But I don't really remember any dads around.
Josh was taken to an institution for abused and neglected children.
I didn't like it because it was scary. It was like a children's factory. I mean, the adults would walk the hallways and they'd talk to you and like, who are these people? And so it was a lot of confusion because these adults are like, oh, we care about you. And but you really didn't get that sense of caring from them. It was more just a dry, like, okay, this is what we do. This is the next kid. And so I just kind of felt, never felt loved.
From the guardian home, he went from one foster home to another.
I didn't feel like a part of the family. I felt like an outcast, basically, like on the fringes. Like they loved you just enough, but you never really felt like it was not mom and dad.
Then at 7 years old, Josh was adopted.
They say, oh, I love you, but I don't know what love means. I've never seen a real family. I've never seen what that looks like. I don't ever remember feeling loved, getting hugged, anything like that. So any kind of adult or authority figure in my life, I certainly had no grounds to stand on to say, this is healthy or this is unhealthy. I just didn't trust them. I don't trust people at all.
As Josh became a teenager, those feelings of distrust and isolation soon turned into anger and resentment.
I was mad and angry at the world because I had dealt with things in my past, and I felt like when I became a teenager, I was already charged with hormones. I was already charged as a teenager, and I just wasn't feeling like I had the love and appreciation that I needed. And so I think for me, the biggest thing I did was I used my adoptive mom as a scapegoat. And so as much, you know, every time she would try to come at me and love me, I would hate her the more.
He would go to church with his adoptive parents, but it was just a formality.
And we'd all have fun, and it was a great time. But spiritually, I would never say that there was anything too spiritual talked about. It was never anything really about Jesus. It was more like just the pat Sunday school stuff, you know, Father Abraham, you know, and stuff like that.
Still searching for a sense of family and belonging to something, Josh gravitated toward his friends. He started drinking and smoking pot.
And they started talking to me about sexual things and pornography and a lot of things you could do as far as that. And so from that time on, I went home and I started experimenting. The things that I was hearing at school, I started doing at home.
When his adoptive parents got divorced, Josh blamed his mother and her God.
My mom was always teaching and preaching this God thing at me, and I didn't like that. It was something I was angry about. And so when she and my dad got divorced, it was kind of like an affirmation in me. And I would say, God's not real. See, this whole Jesus thing, this whole God thing, it's not real.
Josh started stealing so he could buy drugs.
If I wasn't high, I wasn't happy. That's all I did was try to get high. I mean, I would steal change. I would steal money from my dad. I would steal money from my grandparents. I would steal money from anybody I could. I would do anything I could just to stay high because that's all I wanted to do, was just escape from reality.
By 19, he was arrested 5 times for burglary. In jail for multiple felonies, Josh found a book.
And I started reading about a man who had given his life to Jesus. And this man was hooked on drugs. He was robbing people. And I didn't see him. I saw myself on the pages. And suddenly, it was like, whew, Jesus was in my cell with me. And he was saying, do you want to receive this love? Do you want this forgiveness? And immediately, it was like a movie being played out in my mind. I was seeing all these things I had done. And for the first time in my life, it was my fault. I had put myself in this place. And yet God loved me still. And he was giving me an opportunity to accept this forgiveness, this love, this fill this void that I've been trying to fill my whole life. Jesus was there to fill it. And I said, yes. And I started shaking and crying. And it was like I was 1,000 pounds lighter. I remember shortly after looking in the mirror, and I saw joy and light in my eyes. I had never seen this before. I felt like, whoo. I mean, I'm telling you, pornography addiction was gone. I had no desire for it. Cussing, gone. Anger, gone. Absolute, 100% radical, overnight transformation. Jesus was my Lord.
Josh met and married Mitzi in 2003, and they started their own family. Today, they have three children, Mariah, Isaiah, and Josiah.
What really drew me to him wasn't just that he was a Christian, it was his deep love for Jesus and the Word of God. I received Jesus at 17, and I did not know my Bible like he did. And I was like, this guy is going somewhere, and I want to be a part of it.
I'm sitting here today, and I have a family. I've got kids that love Jesus. I've got a wife who loves me. I've got a family. The one thing that I wanted my whole life, my life has been a story of restoration, of redemption. What was stolen from me in my childhood, God has brought it back.
Wow, is that a story or not? That is amazing. That's beautiful. Beautiful. You know, it's hard, some of the upbringing we've all had. I mean, I was fortunate to have good parents. You know, they didn't know Lord in a personal way, but they did have character and they had morality. They dropped me off at church, but I could emulate their character. My dad would lose his temper at me, but it wasn't the end of the world. And I did some of the same things that I swore I'd never do as a parent. Found out it was Christ that had to heal in me, that changed me. But there's the story of the man, you know, he had to save myself, he said, through the pages of reading a story of another man. He said, that was me I was reading about in this book. And I needed salvation. I needed saving. Coming to Jesus opened the door and the garbage went away. The bad stuff, you know, he said, the pornography, the desire for any kind of evil left him. And he said, I got restoration and I got redemption. That's what it's all about. Folks, we're talking about soap operas today. They're all about the bitterness, jealousy, resentment, you know, creating little plots where somebody's against somebody else and somebody wants to stab somebody in the back and all that other kind of stuff that goes on in life through the garbage of the world. You know, personal emotions, you know, this is where the enemy wants to live in us and keep us with stinking thinking, as Zig Ziglar would call it. We got this bad radio station playing us in our head saying, you're no good, you're not smart enough, you're never going to make it, blah, blah, blah. All that garbage is going to keep coming in you. You're not prepared enough for this. You are not ready. All right, let's go on to another story. This is one of my favorites. This is a Muslim woman. This is where she and her sister, you know, struggled in their home with their Muslim parents. And they want to leave. The girls do when they get mature enough and they feel like they're not getting enough from Islam. But the parents are sensing all this, and so they ship them off to Pakistan and to marry somebody, a man that she had never known before, never heard of. Anyway, listen to this incredible story.
I read the Quran. I read the Bible. I remember reading these books cover to cover. And then one day I just thought, you know what? I need to know. I need to know if Jesus is real.
Raisa was born in a religious Shia Muslim family in South London and grew up learning the Islamic faith.
I remember my mum and dad would have a mullah come into our house and teach us how to read the Quran. I definitely believed in Allah, so I never questioned that, but I never really felt any connection with God.
Raisa's family were quite conservative. They wanted her to follow the Islamic faith, but also keep her away from Western culture.
Had a very strict upbringing in the Shia faith. Other than going to school, I didn't really know anyone other than family.
In order to obey her parents, Raisa wanted to do everything they asked. However, there was something that she and her younger sister really enjoyed doing.
We love tennis, and I wanted to enter competitions. And they wouldn't allow that because it was not respectable for a Muslim girl.
Raisa's sport was becoming a threat to her parents, So they thought of doing something that Raisa had no idea of.
They explained to us that we were getting too Western, and they wanted us to experience their culture. And then after that, we went to Pakistan, and we were sat down one day, and my parents said, we have decided that you're not going back to England, that you're going to stay in Pakistan, and we're going to find you suitable husbands. I'd never, ever thought something like that would happen to me. And it actually made me feel completely alone. I felt like, oh my goodness.
They stayed there for several months while Raisa's parents were hunting for their husbands. And then one night, when her parents were asleep.
We can't just sit here and wait for our parents to marry us off.
Raisa and her sister asked the security guards to help them run away. But they didn't know what was coming up next.
Well, basically, we trusted these guys to help us to escape. And they took us and they said, oh, well, the taxi's going to come a bit later. So in the meantime, they were trying to get a bit friendly with us. And we were not having any of that. So in the end, what happened was that they took us back home and literally threw us back into the front of the house.
She had to pay for the mistake she had made. Her parents forced her to marry a man from India and flew back to England after the wedding, not knowing that they had made the biggest mistake of their lives.
I was suddenly married to someone that I didn't really know. It just turned out that he didn't want to be married to me, and he actually wanted to come to England and have a job. His plan was for me to go back to England and sort out all his paperwork.
She flew back to England broken and hurt. There were many questions on her mind. Raisa even questioned her belief in Allah. She didn't do the paperwork for her husband or return to India. She joined the police force in London and moved out of her parents' house.
Through my work, I was introduced to this lady called Anna. And she was working with vulnerable young Asian women, and we just connected. We had the same heart and the same vision to, you know, to really try and reach out to them.
Anna was a believer, so she tried to share her faith with Raisa.
She was a very selfless person, and although I was not a bad person myself, I could see that there was something missing in my life that she had.
Raisa was trying to recover from what she had gone through. She didn't have the courage to believe again in anyone.
Just because I was so curious, I just said, look, why? What's so special about Jesus? I said, just tell me, why do you love Jesus so much? I just thought it's the most crazy thing. She told me who God was. That was so different to what I'd been taught. I was taught that Jesus was a prophet and he was like Muhammad, but hearing Anna's explanation of how actually Jesus was God in human form, coming and then giving his life and dying so that we could have a relationship with God, you know. And I thought, well, what if this is true? What if Jesus really is God and I'm believing in Muhammad and Allah and, you know, but what if this is not the truth? So for me then, from that point onwards, I was determined to find the truth about God. Who is God? And I just knelt down and I just prayed to God and I said, Jesus, if you are real, if you are who you say you are, then I hear your voice, that you're knocking on the door. I open my heart and I want you to come in. Suddenly, the minute I said that, it just felt like I was flooded with love. It was an instant feeling of being washed and accepted, and I knew then that this Jesus is real. Worry and fear and everything was just like washed away. This love that I just felt complete, I knew I had met God, I had met Jesus. The Bible is the final word. It is the word from God. You know, in the Quran, it does say that Jesus is the word of God.
Raisa gave her life to Jesus that day and never looked back. She is now married to a godly man named Richard, and they live in Hereford with their three beautiful children. Raisa runs a cookery class and testifies to the love of Jesus with others, especially women who have gone through similar situations in life. Her family never accepted her back after she became a Christian. But Raisa found a new family in Jesus, which is eternal.
God is always with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. And I also believe that he will bring my family together and bring my family to him as well. I do believe that.
Isn't that, that is a great story. I love that. I mean, she went through a lot. Trials, even with her sister, you know what I mean? Her parents, what a juggling act that went through, of course. Even being raised Muslim is tough enough and it's on its own. But to come to Christ, flooded with love, she said when she gave her heart to Christ, flooded with love. She felt the Holy Spirit come in. That's what it's all about, folks. It's not about religion. It's not about laws, rules, commandments, all that kind of stuff. It's about the Holy Spirit guiding us, directing our path, giving us love, peace, and joy that surpasses all understanding. She said even the Quran, and we've had this many times on our show from people who have been Muslim, the Quran says Jesus is the Word of God. It says it right in there. I haven't read it, but this one I'm telling from other people have told me who have read it. Thank you for joining us. John Beaner with Inspiration 316. Exciting show about soap opera. Your life is a soap opera unless you turn it over to Christ and let him be the guide. Stop doing your own stinking thinking. God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beaner. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth.
Hi, this is John Beaner with Inspiration 316. Love to have you be our guest for the Transformation Jacksonville Prayer Breakfast is coming up this Thursday at the Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Beautiful place to come. We got free tickets for those people who can make it from ministry or business. Love to have you join us or either other guests. All you have to do is go to tjax.org and sign up there. All you'll have to do is pay $5 for parking. Your breakfast is covered because we got sponsors. We got a great speaker coming from Colorado talking about the art of neighboring, written a great book on that. And Sheriff Williams is going to make some comments about our city and where we're heading. Love to have you join us again. June 28th at the Hyatt Regency. Join us 7 to 9 a.m. Go to tjax.org and register for a free ticket to come. It's a $40 thing normally, but we're going to be our guest and the guest of other sponsors. Love to have you join us.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. During a visit to the White House today, Jordan's King Abdullah praised both America and President Trump for their support, including financial aid. The president spoke about conditions getting better in the Middle East and also the importance of undoing the flawed Iran nuclear deal. U.S. defense officials say the administration has chosen two military bases in the state of Texas to house detained migrants. One official said that the unaccompanied children detained after crossing the border would be sheltered at one of those bases. The other would be used to house migrant families. They are Fort Bliss and Goodfellow Air Force Base. The U.S. Supreme Court has thrown out a lower court ruling that found that a Washington state florist discriminated against a same-sex couple by refusing to make a flower arrangement for their wedding. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had a tough session, down 328 points. This is SRN News.
There's an accident on I-10 eastbound the exit at Stockton Street. Traffic seems to be getting around that one okay. Also, heading towards downtown on I-95, there's a multi-vehicle crash I-95 northbound at the exit at San Marco Boulevard. That on-ramp left lane remains blocked and traffic is busy. A slight chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms through tonight. Low 74. Tuesday starting out mostly sunny. High 93.